We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Let's get right to Sal and to more of your phone calls as well. Sal is with us on the Wester Hotline. He is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? His Arrow Down, Arrow Up column is also available for you to read at WGR550.com. Good morning, Mr. Capaccio.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
2 weeks in a row, we're kind of looking for ups, huh? Were there any obvious Arrow Ups for
you? Yeah, I had a few. I'm sorry, what did you say, Jeremy?
Just, if you had any ups, like who stood out as ups before we get to the lengthy list?
Okay,
of
Yeah, I put a few Arrow Ups. One of them was Corey Bohorquez. I would keep doing that, and the punt coverage. Bohorquez punted the ball really well, actually. Four punts, all inside the four, and the punt coverage. Mecole Hardman had two punt returns, totaling 1 yard. I thought Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley made nice catches and bailed, you know, the offense out a couple of times. I thought they played well, even though the offense as a whole, and they did, their numbers weren't spectacular. I thought they played okay and played pretty well. The team committed no penalties through three quarters. That was good. They did a good job limiting Tyreek Hill and his impact in the game. And I had Mario Addison. I thought he actually played well. He had a nice stat line at the end of the day. But that was about it. I was stretching. I was searching. There's no doubt about that. But you know, there's always something that stands out that, you know, looks to be pretty good, even amidst all the bad.
Yeah. So you know, one of the things about the Tennessee game was, I think Steve Tasker talked about this a lot during the week, and I wonder about Sean McDermott's approach to it. There are games where you feel like you play well and you lose, and maybe those hurt. And then there are games where you play poorly and you lose, and it's kind of a different feeling. I don't know what this Bills offense or this Bills defense are feeling right now based on 2 weeks in a row of, I don't know, is getting pushed around the right way to say it? Like a big picture. This team got pushed around by two very good teams, of course, but still, it would. I think Bills fans would have wanted things to be more competitive the last 2 weeks for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't think they played well last night in a lot of areas, obviously. You know, one thing that, you know, maybe you guys have touched on, I'm not sure. Like, I think watching the game, understanding the personnel they were using, this goes back to even the decisions made before the game and how they wanted to play the game. I think they were willing to sacrifice a little bit on the ground and to basically keep everything underneath. You know what I think they did, Jeremy? I think they went into the game with the same philosophy that the Titans had against the Bills the week before. The difference was the Bills couldn't take advantage of that. They couldn't run the ball very well against the Titans, and you know they made mistakes. The Chiefs did. They just said, okay, fine. If you want to take away the big play, if you want to take away our passing game and not let Patrick Mahomes beat you, we'll just beat you on the ground. And it wasn't just the volume of, you know, looking at over 200 yards given up. It was chunk plays on the ground. I mean, like third and long, second and long, and you're just grinding it out. So I think if you look philosophically, okay, if that was the plan where, hey, we're gonna sacrifice a little bit on the ground, we understand that, but we're gonna do it at the expense of making sure they cannot throw it over the top. We're gonna make them work for everything they get. If you look at it from that way, you know, they did a good job on one side of it, which was the passing game didn't hurt them, but it didn't need to hurt them because they just ran the ball so well that it didn't matter, I guess.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, you could have that philosophy. Okay, fine. Right? But at some point, you still need your defense to make a stop, whether it's run stops
100%.
Or a third and six, break up a pass stop or any of that stuff.
Yep.
And the philosophy ends up being flawed because you couldn't get off the field. And they're converting third down runs. Or like I said, if it's a third and medium to long pass, they're hitting that. So, you know, it, all well and good, but you're still trusting and needing your defense to get them off the field, and they couldn't do it. You talked about third down defense yesterday before the game, and it was horrible last night.
It's been bad all year. The Bills came into the game as the third worst defensive unit in the league on third down against, and they were worse than that. If you combine, and I did this, if you combine third down and fourth down combined, because it was one fourth down they even went for, 10 of 15, or I think that was the number, right? 10 of 15, I wrote it down here. 10 of 15.
Yeah, it was 9 of 14.
They were 9 of
14
on third down, and then 1-1 on fourth down, 66.7%. That's, you know, it's just, you can't allow that to happen. And again, it wasn't just the third down conversions, Howard. It was long third down conversions at times, too. And it was, it was kind of a reverse here. The Bills' defense, sometimes, you know, they put them in a second and long. You're like, okay. Now, I know they had some nice first down runs and things, but there were times where it's like second and long. Okay, what can you do? And then suddenly it's third and short or it's first down, and it didn't matter. On the offensive side, the Bills were in third and long all night. They just could not get yards on first or second down. You know, we haven't even talked about the quarterback. He didn't play very well. But, yeah, it wasn't just the numbers that you see at the end of the game in the game book. It was how they came, and in big chunks, they were just eating them up on the ground all night long. Big yardage here or there. It seemed like every single run was going for 8, 10, 12 yards.
Let's get some calls in here as well. We do have a couple lines open if you want to get in. 803-0550 and share your comments, opinions, or questions you might have with Sal with us here. Let's go to Bakari next. Bakari, thanks for holding on. And you're on WGR with Sal. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. I think that first I got a question. Do you think we're going to get bring in any new players for our defensive line? Because it looks like we need an edge rusher and a D tackle really bad. And to me, the game looked just like the Tennessee game, to where it was the same philosophy, and we can't stop the run. And so our secondary is exposed because the guys have all day to throw the ball. I don't think our secondary is playing horribly bad. I think it's more that our defensive line can't get anything going. And I think we need to start upgrading now, because this is the first time in a long time it looks like we have a chance to do something in the season, like go to the playoffs. I think it's a very critical time that we go out and get some linemen to help out on that defensive line. And it just seems like it's the same game I watched with Tennessee. Same game. They ran like 7 times in a row. We couldn't stop it. And it looks like Josh Allen is confused with the zone. You know, I don't know. I will hang up and listen to you guys. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Well, I mean, if you want to make moves like that, and I understand that, where are you going to get those players, and what are you going to give up? Because they're not sitting there on the street. You know, if you're going to talk about bringing players in, there's no free agents out there that are magic bullets. If you want to make a trade, I understand it. And sure, go ahead. Tell me who you're trading for and what team is going to trade with you and what you're going to give up. I mean, that's always the question. The trade deadline is 2 weeks from today. You know, they can do that. It's election day. That's the trade deadline. And I think that's 2 weeks from today, right, guys? It's Tuesday. Yeah. I mean, I'm all screwed up on my days now because of what happened the last couple of weeks. But, you know, so yeah, if you want to do that, you know, sure. And I'm sure Brandon Bean is at least making calls, fielding calls, listening. That's what general managers do. That's his job. He's always going to be doing that. So I just don't know where the answer comes from, other than making a move and giving up assets, which is fine if you want to do that. I just don't know, you know, who's going to be available out there. And as far as Josh is concerned, yeah, I thought that he was confused again at times last night. I'm not sure. I haven't gone back and, you know, really dug into, you know, why that would be. But he missed some throws and looked like he didn't diagnose things real quick enough at the line of scrimmage. And that's concerning. You know, he had been doing that, I thought, pretty well the first few weeks. But maybe teams have seen ways that they can kind of get to him a little bit, rattle him, make him think a little bit too much at the line of scrimmage. And he has to now kind of reset and fight through that, because physically he missed some throws. But I thought he also didn't notice some things he should have early on before the snap even.
Get to your calls again here at 803-0550. Rich, thanks for holding on. You're on WGR with Sal. Go right ahead.
Good morning, guys. There was I knew it was going to be a strange game when on the opening drive, Jack throws a bad ball on first down, throws another bad ball on second down. And now on third Snell throws a perfect strike to Brown, and he tries to catch it with his face. Now,
I think he fell, right?
Yeah, he fell down. He wasn't trying to catch it with his face.
He fell, you know.
I understand. I'm being sarcastic.
Okay.
That first down could have worked. Not that that was
well, you know, we have seen balls stick in the face mask, but I think that's more for the young. But that's for those little balls I use with my son. But go ahead. Sorry about that.
Right. But then the bad penalties. I understand that's frustration. Not acceptable. Pushing guys out of bounds when they're way out of bounds. But I'm going to tell you what. Sal, this play infuriated me the most. Howard, you touched on that quarterback sneak play. Well, the Bills rushed up to the line of scrimmage, and Josh had a wait for Diggs to walk back to the line of scrimmage. And by the way, that flag was not offside. That was an illegal formation. That infuriated me. That's all I got.
I haven't gone back and seen the actual penalty yet. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, he was kind of walking back to the line of scrimmage, and he wasn't set long enough.
And that's what was called, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, I guess you'd have to know if this is not an excuse for him to do that. By the way, I'm just going to say I think that you have to know. Did they call two plays in the huddle? Say if we don't get this, get right back up to the line. Because if that's the case, then you know you got to hustle your butt back because you know that. Or was it okay? We didn't get it, and then suddenly Dable's screaming, "Go, Josh, go! Just get him back to the line, right?" And I don't know. So I'd have to go back. But yeah, I mean, you never want to see that. There's no doubt. And then they got stopped, and then it was. I think they got a break on that, right? Because they got to punt the ball when they're actually stopped in that situation.
Let's see where we're going next. Sorry. Sean, I believe, is where we're going next. No. How about John and West Seneca? I guess is where we're going next. Go ahead, John. Welcome to the show.
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
So I didn't mind the defensive game plan. I know that the run defense was still pretty bad, but I just feel like if we would have blitzed and just told Mahomes to beat us, I mean, he's passing for over 400 yards. So, I mean, I'll take my medicine there, and we know our defensive line isn't that good to begin with. If you would have told us that Kansas City's only going to score 26 points, I mean, I think everyone here is going to say, okay, I'll take that. So I think that comes down to the offense. I'm not completely panicking yet. I think the Jets game is going to be a good game to bounce back. And if Josh and them still struggle against New England, I know that's a tall task, but I think that's when you need to start sounding the alarm. Second, I know this is kind of a doomsday thing to say, but if we don't win our division, it's going to be hard to make the playoffs. I mean, you look at that AFC North, you have Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Baltimore. And I know Cleveland's gotten exposed, but they have a very easy schedule to look at. So, I mean, that's two wild card teams, plus from the division winner. So if you don't win the division, if New England or Miami does something, you really only have one playoff wild card spot to play with. Thirdly, do you know if Trey White and Jordan Poyer said anything about those late hits? Because that's just inexcusable, especially with this quote-unquote culture that we're doing, no discipline. I mean, not no discipline. But discipline, no nonsense kind of stuff. So I'm just wondering if...
Well, I don't remember. I don't know if either of them spoke after the game. I know Sean McDermott did. I was on that Zoom call. And, he obviously, that's not something that he... I don't remember the exact wording he used, but he was disappointed into it in a way, I guess. You know what I mean? He would say the same thing, that it's just, you know, you can't have those kinds of penalties. I don't know if frustration got to them or what happened, but you can't have that. For three quarters, the Bills had no penalties at all. And then in two big spots, you know, they committed those penalties with Tre'Davious White and Jordan Poyer on the sidelines. You just can't have that. There's no doubt about it. So, no, I don't know. I have to look and see if either one of them spoke, because there's different Zoom calls going on at the same time after the game. But I want to go back to what you said a little while ago, a couple things. Standings-wise, you're right. And, by the way, those teams in the NFC North, speaking of schedules, they play, their crossover is the NFC East. Yeah. The teams in the AFC North, is the NFC East. The NFC East is so bad. The leading team in the division is 2-4, the Dallas Cowboys. All the teams in the North in the AFC play those teams. So, yeah, their schedules are going to be ripe for them picking off those wild card spots. There are seven teams that make the playoffs, let's remember. But then let's go back to what you said about the defensive philosophy. You know, guys, it's funny. Yesterday, I took a call during the Extra Point show. And a caller, he brought it up, I don't know in the context of, I can't remember if it was the context of the Bills offense or defense or what it was. But I actually said to him, I said, hey, do you know what Bill Belichick did in Super Bowl 25? He's kind of famous for it. It was in his book. You know what I'm going to say, right, Howard?
Yeah.
Which
is
Jeremy brought it up earlier.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. And I said this to the caller. I said, yeah, he told his defense, we need to let Thurman Thomas run for 100 yards. And they were like revolting. Like, what do you mean? We've never let up a 100-yard rusher this whole year. And he's like, well, if they do that, then they can't throw it over the top of us because we're keeping everything in front. It's going to grind the clock down, run the clock down. We'll kind of use their own offense against themselves.
Yep.
And I think the Bills kind of sort of did the same thing yesterday, right? And you guys, that means you probably talked about this and you agree, I guess, because that was kind of the philosophy. The difference was, though, that the Chiefs just ran way too many plays and too much and too many yards and big chunks. That cannot be part of the plan when you're going to do that, obviously.
So they ran 23 more offensive plays.
One of the ways to make sure that doesn't happen is to score.
Yeah.
If the Chiefs felt the need to score more than they felt the need to kill the game, then your plan might work a little bit. They got the lead, and you couldn't do anything on offense, so they thought, well, let's just keep running the ball.
Yep.
The numbers on this are that Patrick Mahomes averages 8.4 yards per passing attempt for his career. So if the Chiefs average 6 yards per run, you're doing better. It's tough. Like, I get that. I can't decide if that is definitely how I want to play Mahomes. What's the alternative, Sal? Say, fine, let's get into a shootout with him?
Right.
And if you decide to get in a shootout with him, you know, the problem remains the offense. Your offense didn't do much. So I think it's a tough call for McDermott in, like, the overall game plan. What do you want to do? But, you know, at the end of the day.
He was asked, by the way, Jeremy, he was asked after the game, did you consider putting 9 men in the box, you know? And he said, his answer was, if you see teams do that against the Kansas City Chiefs, it results in 40 points on the board. That's what he said.
I think he felt, guys, if this scenario plays out, we're not going to blitz, we're going to rush three or four, we're going to drop these guys in coverage, we're going to sacrifice the run, we're going to keep our guys back, he's not going to throw for a gazillion yards, and we'll keep the game close, and I'll trust my offense to be able to score enough, 28-27, 27-24, whatever it might be, if you can keep them under 30, I'll trust my offense to win a close game. And in his thinking, with 6.5 minutes to go, that's exactly how it played out. It's 23-17,
right?
But your defense can't get stops in the fourth quarter to finish it off, or your offense had one good drive the whole night.
I mean, look, if that fumble counts, right?
I mean, you're at the 30-35 yard line,
or if you stop the 3rd and 12,
yep,
yes,
you have
that's
the
right.
ball
that's right.
with
that's
a chance to take the lead,
right?
That's exactly right. As poor as they played all night, really, you could say that, right? I guess as poor. The run defense, the offense wasn't looking good, the run defense, all that kind of stuff. If one of those two things happen, it actually worked out exactly the way you kind of wanted the whole game, which is don't let them get, you know, a big number on the board. Don't let them have big plays and just keep this thing close. Yeah. And we're going to win it at the end of the game because we're not going to get into a shootout. But the way that they tried to not get into a shootout wasn't because they tried to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. That's what everybody says when you go against them. Well, keep him off the field. Don't get into a shootout with him. Well, they didn't want to get in a shootout, but it wasn't by keeping their offense off the field. It was keeping their offense on the field so they didn't score quickly.
Yeah, and they didn't, but they had a bunch of long drives, and they did get They got 3 touchdowns on the game, and all 3 were long scoring drives.
Can I get to my stat of the day, Howard?
Yes. Wait, hang on a second. Yeah, hold on.
I want to ask Sal about this.
Brought to you by Skyworks, the official equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills.
So, Sal, last year, Devin Singletary and the Bills, they ran the ball pretty effectively. He had 5.1 yards per carry. He had the lowest percentage of 8-man boxes in the league last year. This year, he has an even lower percentage of 8-man boxes, 1.4%. The Bills are dictating the personnel matchups they want in the run game, and he's at 3.8 yards per carry. So what is going on, and how do they fix that? We know he can be a serviceable running back. The line issues are this bad that even in favorable personnel number situations, they're not good enough.
Yeah, look, it's hard to say, like, who you're going to blame it on. Singletary, the offensive line, everybody wants to assign blame. Of course, they all have blame in some way, shape, or form. Maybe Devin Singletary's not hitting a certain hole here or there. But I will tell you, I don't think the offensive line is blocking very well in the run game. And I think that it always seems like there's one person missing a block. They're not sustaining long enough. It just seems like there's always that one either guy that has to be made miss extra that, you know, throws off the timing, or someone that gets to the hole. But I don't think they blocked very well in the run game. I think they missed John Feliciano. You know, and he's not, again, let's go back to what we said about the D-line. It's not like a magic bullet, but I think it allows the defense to play, or the offense to play better and work better just because of the type of player he is. I don't think Cody Ford's played really exceptionally well this year. I thought left guard was his best spot, actually, where he's been the last few weeks. So he's played better. But, you know, and again, I don't want to go through each guy necessarily say, like, he's played well or not. But I just think as a unit, the offensive line has not blocked very well in the run game.
Sal, we'll see you in 2.5 hours.
I'll be there, guys. Thanks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.